Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Insight into Healing. My name is Alexa Servodidio, and I am your host. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Tonight, we have such an exciting show. Tonight, I will be interviewing Christopher D. Corradino. He's Carnival of Soul, is a nationally touring progressive alternative indie rock band residing in Southwest Florida. They have three globally distributed CDs. Their highly anticipated fourth disc, Chapters, is awaiting mastering, and a fifth in the mixing stage. Capable of playing over 4 hours of their own original music with over 100 original songs, they also play extensive covers from Elvis and the Beatles to Pink Floyd, Led Zeppelin, as well as Collective Soul, Golden Earring, Foo Fighters, Wings, Three Doors Down, Guns N' Roses, Highly Suspect, and so many more. They're energetic and musically intense, and diverse sets provide for an entertaining and very interesting evening of music. They have shared the stage with great bands such as Night Ranger, Warrant, Wasp, Blue Oyster Cult, Steppenwolf, The Bullet Boys, Winger, Nazareth, Girl School, Sabotage, and even Taylor Dane. They were hired twice to play 3 hours of music from the King of Rock and Roll for the proclaimed son of Elvis, Phil Stanek, a.k.a. Elvis Presley Jr. Under the band leadership of Tommy Vail, saxophonist from Buddy Holly's Crickets, a very diverse and electrifying career for the members of COS. Welcome, Christopher, to the show tonight. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Alexa. How are you? I'm glad to be
good,
here.
Good, good. Yes. So we have a very special treat. You've actually taught me something tonight. You called in Skype, so you can actually, you're going to be performing a song for us later.
Sure, why not? Yeah, that's what,
yeah.
You know, when we thought about it last minute and we said, let's do this. So, you know, it's something new for us too. So we'll see what happens.
Great. So tell us, how did you start in music? When did you start playing music and being involved in it?
I'd say the first, probably about 10 years old, I got my first lessons, and they lasted for about maybe 2-3 weeks. I learned about 3 or 4 chords, played for a couple of years. My dad arranged for a better guitar teacher, and I went for about 6 months, learned all my basics, and I'd say probably about 6 months after I was a garage band. You know, I went until I'd say probably my high school senior year, and that was like my first time I ever played a live show was during that, and I think it was Chili Cook-Off.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
My first garage band was Mist, and my neck was Marines. I was a military kind of time at church in North Carolina, which is a Marine Corps, and that's actually about 2 hours away, but the housing facilities 2 hours ago, we every day for 10 years, and I was in North Carolina. It was a really cool time in my life. That's where I started music, and went into the military, formed a band there, and kind of the roots of my music that you hear today is started like in that era.
Wow.
So, I guess that's a good start.
Yes. How did the military inspire you with your music?
Well, you know, growing up on a military base, especially a Marine Corps base, very patriotic, you know, everybody, you know, there was, when I grew up, it was kind of weird because it was such a large base and the community that was around it was very diverse, you know, different cultures, different creeds, different races. You know, we didn't have a lot of tension between different, you know, cultures and races and religions and, you know, the military up with that. And so, you know, I kind of lived in a little bubble, I think. It was actually kind of nice. I loved growing up on a Marine Corps base because, you know, you felt safe and I was able to, you know, ride my bike 10 miles to my friend's house and not have to worry about, you know, bad things that, you know, our children have to live with today. So I was very lucky in that aspect. And I'd say, yeah, well, there you go. Military influence in my music. My, you know, being around the military all my life, you know, it's always red, white, and blue. It's always respect your country, your flag, your president, you know, things like that. And I think that kind of bled through in my music over the years. I've always kind of been disciplined, I guess you could say, because of it. You know, we always had a pretty good work ethic, and bar owners and venue owners never had to worry about us being late. We're always professional. We didn't show up drunk and, you know, and stupid. And I guess we missed out on a lot. From, you know, all the tales that my friends tell me, I'm like, really, that happened? And I'm like, yeah, we had a Gatorade backstage. So, anyway.
But it sounds like you're very passionate about what you do, and you really enjoy what you do. Your heart and soul is really in it.
Oh, it's almost a curse. It really is. You know, it's a roller coaster ride, being a musician. Just like, I suppose, anything else in the entertainment industry, you know, it definitely is the economy and how things are going definitely affects what you do professionally. You know, there was a time where the music was all, I was busy all the time, you know, lots of money, and, you know, and then, you know, things just changed, and our country and economy is not like it used to be. So it's really a struggle. And especially when, you know, you reach an older age, you know, trying to compete with, you know, the youth and things like American Idol and The Voice and things like that, with folks that are kind of like, I'd like to say prefab, kind of cookie cutter kind of thing. A lot of those folks who come from shows like that, you know, God bless them, they are really talented. They've got amazing voices. There's very few of them, though, that, you know, started setting up equipment when they were 12 years old, you know, trying to get gigs and you know, driving and stuffing all your equipment in the back of a van, and, you know, 3.5 hours to play a gig to make $30, you know, and didn't do it for the money. You did it for the love and of music. And I think a lot of our culture has been lost in music because of that. You know, because of the American Idols and the way things are done now. It's just, the age is different. And, you know, just by anybody can sound professional. You know, you don't even really have to have much talent anymore to be, you know, to have a great, great album. You just have to have a fantastic producer who knows what they're doing and has a great Pro Tools, cut and paste, kind of what happens.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the real show's strength is when going and touring and going into these different venues and learning as you're playing, you know, stuffing everything in the car, driving all those hours, and playing in front of you know, crowds you don't know who they are. I mean, you don't know what to expect, and I think that really builds the character of each performer and what works, what doesn't work, and it's really how you know, hone your craft.
Oh, you got that right. Under pressure, you'd be amazed at what you're capable of doing. Our last tour we did in 2012 was the last national tour that we did. We've got one that we're planning this summer. But during that tour, you know, our vehicle lost, I think, four tires on the way. You know, and when you're in the middle of camp, and it's 4.5 hours to the next gas station, you know, you really hope that AAA works, and, you know, if your self-service works. So, yeah, there's a lot of challenges these days, you know, and I really feel bad for a lot of the younger bands that are struggling to try and do something, you know, like get on a tour and buy your way on. I remember a day when you just had to be good, you know, and really, you know, when somebody would actually go and check you out live and say, oh my God, these guys are amazing. Let's have them play. You know, that's how, you know, Warrant and Night Ranger was just those situations, you know. Somebody sees you and is like, hey, here's a card. Okay, well, you call it and it's like, okay, what are you doing on this date, and this date? I guess we're opening up for you guys. All right. You know.
Wow. How is that? Because you've shared the stage with a lot of different bands. How is that for you when you're opening for a band or when you're sharing a stage?
Well, a few times we've been in the position where we were, you know, either the headliners or, you know, the supporting act. So, you know, we've kind of been semi-spoiled a little bit, you know, along the way. But mostly, an opening act really doesn't really get a lot of respect. They only get half the sound, half the light. You know, they're not the headlining act. And Lord, you outdo the headliner. That happened to us a couple of times where we were just probably a hair better than Ben that night. We lost half our sound and lights right in the middle of the song when the sound guy realized, ooh, these guys are better than the headliner. So
they're sounding a little too good.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, we've had bad shows too. So I'm not saying, you know, that doesn't happen, but yeah. Where were we? I kind of take you on journeys, don't I? I'm sorry about that. Well, I start off with one thing and then all kinds of paths.
How do you pick where you're going to tour? Like, are there the same type of venues? Does someone else pick it? Like, how do you pick where you're going to play?
I work with a booking agent or like that myself. And which is ridiculous. This my hair is thinning now. it was success at the end. You know, we lost numbers. You know, we drove the tag. You know, last place that was so beautiful.
Who are you there?
But yeah.
I'm sorry, you're breaking up a little bit. I don't know if the Skype is going back. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. About now.
Chris, okay, yeah, I can hear you right now. Okay, yeah, because sometimes it goes in and out a little bit.
Okay.
So I guess with the touring is very interesting, and really I guess going to all these different places, do you usually have a certain set you play, or do you kind of just, depending on the venue, what music you play?
We usually know what kind of audience we have by around the first set. You know, we try a lot of things in the first set. If there's a lot of folks, it just depends on what kind of show. Sometimes we're playing venues where we're playing like three or four sets of music in a night. But then, you know, there's shows where we're only playing for an hour, hour and a half. In those type of situations, we try to play our best, you know, music from our most current CD, and then a couple of the most popular songs or requested songs from our former CDs, you know. Dating back to like our catalog right now, we pick from about five CDs, I think. We try to pick at least two songs from each. Now when we play a whole night, cause when we're not on tour, you know, we're still at home, and, I don't have the bank account, you know, John Lennon. So I work all the time. So sometimes I play cover music in bands, and we do situations like tonight, playing everything from AC/DC to Casey and a Sunshine Band, you know, and those situations, those are fun, but they're definitely, you know, it's a lot of work. You know, you set all your equipment up, you play for four sets, and then you tear it all down, you go home, and there's not a lot of glory in those kind of shows, but they are fun. And anytime I'm playing music, I'm happy. But when we're on tour, you know, those shows are always better. They're more geared towards original music and the music you're trying to sell and market.
Yes.
So.
Yes. So you're actually going to play a song for us tonight.
We are. Yep. And Alfie, if any time that you want to say something, brother, you can just chime right in. But we've got a song called Something to Say that we brought out of the vaults here just recently because I played it for Alfie and he just liked it. So and that's all it took was just somebody to like the song. Now I'm playing it again after probably 23 years, I think. I wrote this 23 in brand new song. It never got put on a CD. I don't think I've really played it many times live other than in an acoustic situation like this. So, if people like this song, then we'll probably do it again in a band manner and maybe put it on the next CD. We don't know. This is how that happens.
That would be great. Yes. I would love
hopefully
to hear
you
it. If you're ready, if you'd like to start now, it would be great.
Okay, something to say. And Alfie, just make sure that you kind of close to that mic there. That's one of those old Elvis Presley 50s types mics for you. Come on. Got to get up on that thing. Ready?
A friend to you, but I had shall I dream once again? I am still your friend.
So that is.
Wow. That was amazing.
Did you like
that? I love it.
Right.
I love that song. So powerful.
That's what we call a smasher trash. So I guess so far it's two votes for smash, not trash. Right, smash.
You got a third vote. Mary Kay in the chat room says very powerful lyrics, great song. So you got another vote.
Thank you. What was her
very
name again?
Very powerful. Mary Kay.
Mary Kay, thank you, ma'am, very much. Awesome.
Yeah.
That's
wow.
Cool. Very cool.
Yeah, really great. I mean, I would definitely, that is a powerful, powerful song.
Yeah, thank you. And you know what? And Alfie, just recently, as I'm playing this and you're playing that, I've never had harmonica to it, and it's amazing. Alfie just joined our band, I'd say within the last month and a half. And probably one of the most amazing harmonica players I've ever listened to in my life. I mean, he is on the same level as like John Popper from Blues Travelers. He's that fast. He's that good. He's just and just as cool. So, and I've been absolutely blessed by him joining us. And he, you're from Venezuela originally. Get on the mic here, man. Introduce yourself, because everybody just heard this cool ass harmonica, and they're going to want to know who played that. And if you do want to hear Alfie on some of his recordings, you can hear Herb Nation, the same place you can find him. Just look up Alfie Harpo, Alfie Harpo. You'll hear some really great blues harmonica. Planned. If you want to hear some of our music, Carnival of Soul on Reverb Nation, and both of us are on Facebook as well. And either one of us, if you go to either site, you'll contact with the other, because we have joined forces and guided. So.
Wow! Yeah. Definitely.
Blessed to be playing the music. So talented.
Thank you, sir. You just heard what you did.
Wow. I'm sorry, it's breaking up a little bit. What did you just say?
I was actually just bragging how good he is.
It's powerful. I mean, the harmonica really makes a huge difference. It's very, very powerful. I've always been a big fan of it, because you don't hear it that much anymore.
But we have used to put almost 4 hours worth, and it really almost took no effort. That's how good he can make that thing sound like a keyboard. There's just dozens of shows with us. I turn and I look and I'm like, what in God's name is that? I mean, that's in our song right now. I'm like, that is cool. And he's over there doing something with his little foot pedal and his harmonica. He's got wicked little foot.
Wow. Yeah. How many people are in the band in total?
Let's see. Our drummer, his name is James Rizzo. And he's been with us for a couple of years now. My compadre and co-captain is Dan Lamatia. We call him the Duck. I told you about him. He does our Dean Prime Cut show on another radio station. And also we have on keys my partner, Sean Bryan, and we're also in a worship band together on Sundays. When we're in town, we play at Charlotte United Methodist Church on Sundays, and we play Christian music. So there you go. We do that. And
oh, wow.
Yeah. We
That's
also have a cover.
How is that playing? How is that playing worship music and playing in a church? How is that?
It's a different experience. Not there for me. I'm not there for my ego or anything like that. I check that at the door. I'm there strictly to play my guitar as best I can, for my God. And doing that, I feel, is a far better thing than holding up a sign or strapping a bomb on you. If that's how I praise my God, is through my music and through peace and love. And I do it every Sunday, and we all as a band just try to, live as good as we possibly can. So, we're not a bunch of hypocrites when we go there on Sunday. So
yes.
That's
incredible. I mean, that just really speaks volumes about you, your band, your integrity and your caliber. Really speaks volumes for it.
Thank you. And also I have to mention that we also have a flute player. Her name is Jessica Amboyan, and she also is the lead singer of our little cover. Like when we're not touring or doing anything like that, we play a lot of covers. And so when we're around town, we go under the name Red, and she is the lead vocalist for that. And she's been on a little bit of a hiatus because of an autoimmune disease she has, but she's also a member of Carnival of Soul. And I, in that little last segment there, I didn't include her, and I feel really bad because she is also a full-time member. So make sure I get that in there. And our alumni, some of the folks that have played in this band, and there's been a lot of them, they are all beautiful, beautiful people. And without each one of them contributing, I wouldn't have such beautiful children as the songs that I have, And there's so many people who put their blood, sweat, and tears into it. And so if you heard Nation and you listen to those songs, each one has a little description and who played on it. And, such great, great, great musicians I've been completely. Until the day I die.
How did you come up with the name Carnival of Soul?
Our original name was Last Rites. That started in 1990 when we borrowed about a half dozen songs from the mill band that I was in when I was stationary from in the late 80s. We borrowed some music from that little project. We were Last Rites from 1990 to about 1995. Right as we first CD got signed to a record label to plan a new tour, I got a cease and desist letter from this law firm that said the use of the name Last Rites was copywritten and that I couldn't use it anymore. So that kind of put the kibosh on that. And had a couple of members that left the band right after that in some really incredible circumstances that are really book worthy. So I'm not going to spill it now. I'll wait till the book comes out because it's pretty breathtaking. So, anyway,
wow.
So I was searching for a name, and anyone me personally knows that as a child I was a Kiss fan. And my sister took me to my first Kiss concert when I was 10 years old. And my sister Cassie, she's really one of the main contributors, her and my sister Robin, to fuel the first me playing. They really well. And she, like I said, took me to my first concert at age 10 and started me on a path of just, I want to be Ace Frehley. that was my goal. I wanted to be Ace Frehley. I didn't want to wear the makeup and stuff, but I wanted to be just, and I never have been just as cool, but it's been fun trying to be. And that's all I got to say about that. Just a little sidebar, my sister, bless her heart, when Kiss was supposed to retire in their farewell tour, which, they've had like 25 tours since then because I don't know when enough is enough. That last tour we hooked up and went to that concert, that final farewell tour, thinking that it was the farewell. My sister went, my first cousin, he was like a sister, and it was kind of like ending a chapter, and it was a really beautiful moment. And so I won't talk about all the imposters after that, but, you know, that point, it was really cool, and it felt full circle, and actually that last concert, seeing them, inspired me to keep going on, even, you know, after, you know, you leave your 20s and your 30s, and you look at it, you know, the music world a little differently. Then you have kids, you have responsibilities, and it's like you can't go out on tour every 6 months. So, you know.
Yeah, it's a tough lifestyle.
Yeah, it is. But along the way, this last tour that we had, we visited a lot of the places that we played in the 90s. A lot of the venues were still there. A lot of the folks were still there. And
wow.
We called it it was amazing. It was the Friends and Family Tour 2012, because it didn't matter where we went. You know, we could have reservations at a hotel, four-star hotel, but then there would be like an old buddy of mine, Travis, is like, man, I got two cabins on the Lake of the Ozarks, man, you're going to stay there. So yeah, we did. And you know, and then you end up with a refrigerator full of food and two jet skis. You know, that just doesn't happen all the time. So
that's
that was
perfect.
Yeah. And you know, some family up, we had a folk, some folks, Patty and Steve Geisenhoff, that managed us for close to 20 years, and they retired up in Washington. So when they heard us that we were going to actually go on tour again, they were all excited, and they were in on it, you know, and they helped. So we stayed up in Washington State for about a month. And let me tell you something, that was beautiful. Washington State and the upper Northwest can play any summer. Winter? Hell no. I'm going to be right down here in Florida playing. But summertime, I'm going to be up in the Northwest because actually this summer, we're going to go from the Northwest to the wind and back down.
Any plans to come to New York?
Well, if we're going to go from Washington State all the way to New England, we're going to stop in. So, Alexa, you're going to have to pull out all your friend cards and find some good venues for us, and we will contact them and persuade them to link, and we'll have an Alexa S night. How's that?
Yes, I tell you, I have a place for you. Capitol Theater Garcia's. It's right in Portchester, New York, right where I live. It's Garcia's, and Capitol Theater, a lot of big names have played there, and they have the big theater, and then they also have the bar with the theater. It's incredible. I would check out Garcia's Capitol Theater. It's a good venue, and I'm definitely coming.
Do they know who you are? Have you ever met any of the owners or staff or anything like that?
I met a few of them a while back. I was just there in August to see another performer. And it's just such a great, great venue. But, yeah, definitely. We should definitely talk after the show, because I think you should look into it. Okay. It's great. And then I can bring all my friends and all the listeners will come, too. It'll be great.
Awesome. That would be fantastic. I love New York. I want to go back and play there again someday. We were there in 2011, and I want to do it again, definitely. So, yes. Help us make that happen.
Yes,
it's
going to
be
definitely a
great work. And who knows, you know, I think I'm bringing one of my sons, who's an amazing player and gets tour with us, and I think he's going to we're going to break him into the industry on this tour. So putting New York in that July, I think that's going to be one of his highlights too, because he's always wanted to go through there. So that'd be nice.
That would be great. I mean, that would be wonderful, you know, to have your son playing with you too. That's pretty powerful.
I'm hoping he's definitely going to be a roadie. I'm hoping he's ready for the piano, or, you know, I mean, we do have a piano player, but our piano player loves to get out from that thing and just sing. And he is an awesome singer. He doesn't do a lot of our original music. He's only done a couple, but he sings a lot of the Christian songs that we do. So we will be putting out, I see in the future, probably a Christian-based CD, especially a lot of some of the newer contemporary we really like a lot of these songs, and I think that us redoing them and putting out a CD like that is going to be a lot of fun. You know, that's we've been talking with that. Hopefully, our tour, we're thinking about actually every Sunday we're at finding a church just to play that, you know, and, you know, we like to, you know, grab a few people and say, hey, man, you know, just come on, just check it out. If you don't want to, that's cool. And if you're an atheist or Muslim or Buddhist, I don't care. Still come to our show. It doesn't matter. If you want to come to our church, check it out and see, you know, maybe they have good cupcakes. You know, you
yeah,
know.
I mean, that's incredible. Christian music is really on the rise. There's a radio station, I'm not sure if you have it there in Florida, called K-Love, and it's all Christian music. And I'm finding on regular radio stations, like the main rate, I'm hearing some of those, they're crossing over now into the mainstream. I mean, really powerful, powerful music. And I always recommend people to listen to K-Love and to listen to Christian music a lot. And it changes your life. And I think that's incredible to pray, to, you know, to play in a church on Sunday and to put that part of your tour is just really, you know, is incredible.
Yeah, well, we're hoping that works out. You know, we haven't ironed out all the details yet. You know, there's a lot involved because when you do a tour that's secular and non-secular, you know, you're mixing. It's not oil and water. It really isn't. But you have to be very conscious of all of the things that you're doing throughout the whole tour, you know. You just got to make sure that everything is just, you know, done. That's all I want to. You don't want to look like I said earlier, you don't want to look like a hypocrite, and you know, and you want to, you know, be respected in the eyes of non-secular and secular for doing both. So it's a fine line, and we're weighing the balance of it right now, you know, and you know, tossing it and seeing if it can be done. I know it because, you know, I just got that. I, you know, whose voice in the back of my head just saying, oh, it's going to work. It's going to work. So, you know, I kind of just smile and shake my head because I know who's driving. I'm not. So.
Yes. Yes, definitely. Just, and your talent from the song that you sing, your talent is amazing. The band's talent. It really speaks volumes.
Thank you. It's been. But on this trip, Jerry Garcia.
With your song, when you write a song, does it take you a long time? Does it come quickly, or is it different for each song? How do you find making your own original songs? How is that for you?
I'll tell you, right around the age of about 16 or 17, this well opened up and this gush of water came out, and it's been a music fountain. It was that went on. Probably, let's see, 40, at least almost 30 years where I had to finally, after writing probably 500-600 songs, you gotta stop that because it'll drive you crazy. I have so many songs, I don't know what to do with them. So around age, you know, I'm just going to say about 4 or 5 years ago, I finally just was able to kind of quiet the voices, you know, the words that kept coming. But those years, it would happen sporadically. I'd keep a notebook paper or if it was toilet paper or if there's a newspaper or if there was a scrap of paper, it would to write. It would come and I would have it down. And to this day, I have, like, you know, probably a garbage bag full of just lyric phrases, you know, maybe like a paragraph or something I started, you know. And then, you know, that's different from even the complete ones, you know, which is probably well over 500 of those. They would happen, I'd wake up in the middle of the night and, you know, write big dreams whenever our song CD, our drummer at the time, Pete. The first two lines of that song, and I took it and went to sleep with it, and I woke up with a song. And I looked at the lyrics; they were a little you know, the handwriting was bad because I apparently woke up in the middle of it. It was my handwriting. But it was, you know, you could tell I was asleep. And there you go. There was the song. And so, and it, you know, a staple over the years. I've like maybe a, or something that it sticks in my head. All of a sudden, boom. And all the lyrics just, and there it is. And then it's like it's done. It's like, kind of relief. When I'm in with the guys, we're just working on a hook or just jamming around, and all of a sudden you hear really cool, and then you dig through 500 lyrics, and you're at winning, and then you find it. And one of the gifts I think that God gave me is that I've been able to partials of gifts that I've created by things that are these really great little lyrical hooks and musical hooks and stuff like that. And I'm able to things that are incomplete and put them all together and make this, you know, great little piece of music. Of course, it takes everybody to do that. It's just one of my little gifts that I think God gave me. And I just love doing it. It's fun. You know, Sean will have this thing that he plays for months and months and months, and then I'm like, all right, give me that. You know, what's some of the things you've been working on? You know, all right, give me that one. And we put them together, you know, and we have a song that we just look, shake our heads like, wow, how divine. You know,
wow, yeah.
It gives you that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a work in progress, but I think that's, it just kind of, it's ongoing. It's not always like an ongoing theme or force that's going on, that's creating. And I think that's, you know, where you get the best, you know, some of the best masterpieces, being able to fit everything together. So you must have like a big bag full of all different things that you can just go back into and put together songs or put together ideas. And I think sometimes when you look back and you're at a different stage of your life, and you maybe saw that you wrote something down maybe 5 years ago, and now you're at a different stage, it's really interesting how it's interpreted.
Yes. Yeah. Sometimes I just look at that and I'm shaking my head. I'm like, man, I wish I could go back and talk to you. 20 years ago when you wrote this, you moron. Or, you know, maybe give me, say, oh, chip buck up there, cowboy. You know, it's going to be all right. Trust me, I'm in the future.
Wow, that's powerful.
Yeah, I spent a lot of years, you know, writing sad, sappy love songs. Because, that's just what happens, you know, and after a while, you can only take those same feelings and recreate them in the same old way sometimes before you just have to look at it and say, you need to start thinking of something else to write about, you know, fortunately, in the last 15 years, you know, I finally got away from that kind of writing, I'm not going to say I became political or anything like that. It's just I was different, a little more aware, and I feel like you know, my songwriting skills definitely grew from when I started. Now it's like I've got so many. It's like I just tell my kid, go ahead, all you have to do is just join in, learn this stuff, and then, you know, and then I got this whole bag of stuff you can just take, you know, and you know, hopefully he'll do that. You know, I do want him to, you know, to write his own music and things like that and be able to express himself in his own way. But just in case he can, or one of my other children can't, you know, a couple of music, you know, they have a lot to pay for them. I'm going to leave them a lot of stuff. So hopefully it'll stick around for a while. And, you know, it's not that I need a monument to myself or anything like that. That's just ridiculous. It's just been great to be able to play some music and leave a little bit behind. You know?
Yeah,
well,
it's priceless.
Not, yeah, there's a lot more, but.
Yeah, but I think it's also therapeutic. I mean, I also, I'm a psychotherapist and I have my private practice. And a lot of times with my clients, if they're in a good place or if they're struggling, I have them journal. It's, you know, bits and pieces, and it might not, you know, it doesn't have to be all coherent, but different phrases, write down bullet points, and then actually, like, through the years, look back, and they can really, it's interesting to kind of have a timeline of your emotions, of your growth, and you really get, because you know what you were feeling, what you were thinking, and you look back and say, wow, a year ago I was in this place, now I'm in this place, and really get to see see your growth and how your perspective changes. It's very powerful.
You summed that up. You sure did. You know, as a matter of fact, I think I don't need therapy now because I was able to do that. You know, I was able to, you know, a lot of people keep things bottled up and they don't know how to express and, you know, perpetuates itself into, you know, ulcers, cancer. I think if you're able to, you know, take your emotions and place them properly where they belong, you know, and have outlets for them, the appropriate outlets, you know, it's awesome. You know, that's why some people get into, you know, physical fitness and, you know, boating. It's not just music. It, you know, find your thing, niche, and whatever it is, you know, take it out on that. Don't let it fester because it's not good for you. And along the way, that's what I did. I believe I've been blessed with the ability to take everything that I feel and put it in its proper place. It doesn't mean that, you know, I brush over those feelings or anything like that. It just, you know, with me, if I had an issue and I was able to put it into a song, then all of a sudden I'm able to deal with that issue, or maybe the issue becomes moot after I made it a reality.
Yes. Well, you process
something
it.
Like
I think you kind of, before. You work through it and with the singing. And I guess, you know, singing that song over and over again, if you sing it for different venues or different people. And I think then you also are helping, you're touching other people who are going through something similar or have those same feelings. And I think that's what really, you know, catches like listeners and an audience, where you really touch them and they're like, they can feel what you're singing about. They know exactly that feeling. And I think that's what, you know, why people will keep listening to that same song and keep playing it, because it's, you know, it really reaches them.
I think they do. And greatest feelings is having somebody come up. There's an era just at home. That's our CD, our first CD, you know, that was Sergeant. It's absolutely, it tells a story. And I wrote a screen this, and, you know, we had this really cool thing planned, but June 95, the disaster, and it was believable. but it's amazing.
Sorry, you broke up a little bit. Could you repeat that? I'm sorry, you kind of went in and out a little bit.
What I was, you know, when we had our first fallout, and you know, was out of you know, feel all that, and thankfully kind of helped fuel our future.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's the book. I'm going to write it, I promise. That's, you know, our
first... Are you writing a book?
I started, and it was actually supposed to be the screenplay to our first album. That was in screenplay, and that's what we got signed for. But like I said, disaster hit in 95, and it never got materialized. The album did, but not the screenplay or the performance that goes along with it. So maybe someday I'll take that and, you know, and put it into some sort of rock opera. And, you know, I have some really cool plans for it. We'll see if the powers that be allow that to happen, it'll happen. Keep your fingers crossed, because it's a cool one.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. I can't wait. I would love to see it, hear it. It really sounds incredible.
Well, it was definitely an experience. Off air someday, I'll tell you the story about it. You'll just shake your head. You'll be like, no way. And I'm like, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Know what? I'm just going to say it. Two of our members found Jesus right before we were going on tour and right after we got signed. And that was the collapse of our band. okay, they left, and we lost our record contract, lost our tour, and that's why it's kind of ironic that, you know, I play Christian music, and, you know, isn't it funny how things come full circle?
So they couldn't, they thought being in the band and being, finding Jesus,
evil.
Contradiction.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You know, which my philosophy is, why in the hell you want to preach to the choir? You know, really. Why do you want to do that? If you want to spread good news, you go to people who need good news. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to do something on Sunday that means something, well, when you're doing something on Friday, try and influence one or two to just come hang out. That's all. Just come hang out. You don't have to hit them in the head with a Bible. You don't, you know, act like an idiot or, you know, some sort of, you know, right-wing religious fanatic. You don't have to do all those things. Just enlighten people. And, you know, you call them and just say, hey, man, you know, there's a really cool place where I hang out. And all these folks, you know, they get together and, you know, and it's nice. And they read a little bit from our greatest book, and you might learn something. So come on out. And plus, it's good music. And my church, they have great snacks. You know, that's awesome.
Yeah, and I think that's what's incredible. It's spreading the word. I mean, I'm, you know, very religious, and I don't stuff it down anybody's throat. And I, you know, as in clients with my private practice, if they don't bring up God, it's not my point to bring up God. But if someone asks me, you know, for the radio show, for my television show, or in life, how do you get where you're getting? How do you stay focused? And the truth is, God. That's what keeps me going. That's what I do. I listen to Christian music. I center myself. I do things like that. And I think that's what, and you know, people by hearing that and listening and watching, then they start to incorporate in their own way. They don't have to do it how I do it. They don't have to be a certain religion. It's just bringing that God, that power into the higher power into your life and living by example.
Yes. Couldn't said it better. Yeah. And, you know, if you live by that, hopefully when it counts, then all of it was worth it, the way I look at it. And, you know, worst case scenario is there's nothing. And I just don't believe that at all. And so I believe in the human spirit. I believe that most people, even though we're created to commit sin and go through those things. I believe that, you know, I believe in the human race. I kind of like us. I don't like all of us, but I think it's worth being saved. So if you can help as many as you can along the way, you know I need to help every day. So if I can just like say, hey, you know, just check that out. And I'm not necessarily, you know, giving you, you know, all the tools, you have to do that. I'm just showing you the path, you know, and that's hopefully what I'm going to be able to do, you know, along somebody asks, somebody needs it, say, hey, this is what I know, and it's not a whole lot, but every day I learn more, and if you want to be that way, check it out yourself, and don't judge, just try.
Yeah, that's definitely
wow.
Key.
You know, Alexa, I had no idea it was going to go this way. I really didn't.
Yeah.
I had no idea it was going to go like this, but I guess
that's what I think is great. Yeah, I think, you know what, things come up with the direction. There's a reason to speak about things and to go there, and I think that's what's really, you know, it's powerful, and I think it's really great to be able to kind of explore all different angles and different ways and spreading the word and spreading your story. And I think that's part, that's so, you know, giving back and letting people know how you've come so far, what keeps you going, and that, you know, we all have struggles, but, you know, no one's perfect, but I think it's still, you know, keep plugging away, keep doing it, having hope.
Yep, everybody's got a story, if you can, well, inspire somebody else to continue with their story, or at least maybe change their chapter, you know, start a new one, you know, that's what I hope for, anyway. You know.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And it's been a great career so far. Even though, you know, I can say that I don't have the backing that Donald Trump does financially. I feel like, you know, I've been rewarded well in life. And if I can spread a little music, a little happiness with that, then job well done.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. And we're getting you to New York. Mary Kay says she's coming too. So she says she wants to be in when you're coming to New York too. So, you know, I think we should talk about getting you here in New York and getting the tour. I think that would be amazing.
I think it's going to happen now. I mean, it all starts with a little seed that's planted, and the next thing you know, we're going to be enjoying a garden this summer. Right on. I hope so. Anyway,
that would be incredible.
Yeah. I think it's definitely due. All the guys in my band are kind of really needing to do this as well. There may be a few that doesn't realize how bad they need it, but they need this. They really do. This our music needs to be spread. Some of our, I'd like to say good cheer needs to be spread because, the guys that I play music with, I'm just blessed. They're good people, and, you know, when you've got a bunch of good people playing good music, man, that's a good time. So I don't see how anybody can resist that. So
that's perfect. Definitely. Well, we're at the end of the show. I just wanted to thank you so much for joining us this evening. It was incredible. Your music is incredible. I can't wait to hear more of it.
Alexa, I can't believe that you made me talk for an hour.
My guests are like, are you kidding me? That hour's too long. I'm like, it goes by so fast. All of a sudden, you're like, really? It's the end of the show already? I'm telling you, once you get into it, it just goes by.
I just hope that all you know, they keep tuning in to you because you have a great voice. And I thank you. I've known you for many years now, too.
Yes.
I hope we meet again. And let's keep that New York thing.
Yes, definitely. We're definitely going to be working together more. Definitely.
Sounds good.
Anybody wants to check out
our just tell your folks that go to Afi Harpo and they'll like us on Facebook and we'd thank you.
So it's Carnival of Soul on Facebook.
Yep, Carnival just for me, and that's basically all I do on Facebook is just push my music to the point.
Okay, and Alfie Harpo is on Facebook.
Yeah, that's my Mac.
Okay.
Player. Yeah.
Okay, well, we're definitely going to check it out. Thank you so much. And thank you to all my listeners so much for listening in tonight. And if you have any questions, you can send them to insightintohealing@gmail.com, or you can find me on Facebook at Insight Into Healing. And again, everyone, thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Have a good night, and God bless.
God bless.